Welcome to Three Brothers Talking. I'm your host. By that, I mean not really your host, Jeremy. And I'm going to kick it off to David.
That was kind of your NPR voice.
I was practicing.
Welcome.
It's an audition.
This is David. I'm David. That was Jeremy.
I'm Andrew. I'm here too.
All three of us.
I think I nailed it.
Same room.
Again.
Same room.
Round two.
Not the same night.
Not the same night. We're just getting together all the time now.
We just hanging out all the time. Respectably distanced still.
Respectably distancing. Was that what it is? It was respectful distancing, right?
I don't know.
We'll workshop it. Everybody out there, use hashtag respectful distancing.
Tell us which one sounds better. Which one's better?
Respectful distance. Your first. These are your first respectfully distanced pods. The other ones were just virtual. These are respectfully distanced. And to give a peek behind the curtain, I mean, I don't want to ruin anything. The main reason we're doing that is because it just sounds. It's easier for me. For me, when I'm editing these,
David's always
to sound better,
as easy as possible. Yep.
So, and as we said in the last episode, I'm personal space guy. So,
Andrew and I are far away from.
I put Andrew on the other side of the living room. I mean, if that guy was within, if he was, he might be like 10 feet
I'm
away from
outside.
Me. Oh my goodness!
You might as well be.
I wish you could be.
Put the mic through the window.
Yeah. We were hoping to do this outside, but Ohio weather didn't cooperate.
Yeah, it's a little chilly.
We're getting what we normally get in March. We're getting it here in April.
And the car wash outside your house may just magically go on.
Yeah. And I haven't found a way yet to, you know, soundproof my whole backyard.
Just turn off the power to the.
Who has the quietest backyard? It's probably one of you two. I mean, it's not me.
Probably.
Mine's pretty quiet.
His is quiet. Mine's quiet, but there's also animals.
You got woods back there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, but it's not people.
This year we'll be doing some podcasts on location in some backyards. And
mine's usually fine. It's just like the occasional person in the neighborhood that like decides to cut their grass in the evening or something.
Andrew's got a huge deck, by the way. So we could respectfully distance on that deck.
Oh, ours hear coyotes at night, which is kind of entertaining.
There you go.
Super cool.
That'd be cool. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be like going off the last pod.
It'd be like alone.
We talked about the show alone.
I might just go sit in my backyard one night alone.
Go survive in your backyard.
Go survive. Put a tent up. Say, Faith, I must survive.
I love sitting
doing it, Faith.
I love
doing
sitting
it.
Out at night. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. So, anyway. Three Brothers Talking. Here we are. If you like this podcast, please share it with somebody because we don't really
post anything.
None of us really use social media. And the podcast as a collective doesn't use social media because it's just us.
Can we say we're banned on like Twitter or Facebook?
Because we've been banned.
We've been banned. We're demonetized.
We are demonetized in that we don't make any money.
In that we were never monetized.
You don't need to know. Now we're like on the cusp of being cool in outlaws. See?
Speaking of monetized. If you would like to sponsor this podcast,
that's what I was going for.
You're free to.
We would like to monetize it. Yeah. We would like that. We would enjoy it. We'd have to.
Dave's trying to pitch that because he's got a baby coming. So
a baby on the way.
Guam, like sandals, Guam.
Vacation. They might have a Guam location.
I'm sure they do. They should sponsor us after our last episode.
Yeah. No, Guam.
The entire
Guam. Let's get Guam as a sponsor.
I just went to sandals at Guam.
Oh, okay.
But you if Guam wants to sponsor us before they tip over, that's fine.
I'm not picky. I'm not picky. I'll take sandals or Guam.
Yeah.
Or just sandals in general. Repair sandals.
Even a nice, you know, a nice company that makes sandals. I'll take any of them.
Take whatever. But if you do
want to sponsor us, you can always reach out to us. Our email is, I haven't said our email on the podcast in a long time. It's Three Brothers Talking.
Do you remember it?
We still checking that thing?
I do. It's checked. It's only checking it because it forwards to me automatically.
Okay.
That's good because we never checked
it.
Yeah.
Haven't checked it.
They don't even know how to log into it. ThreeBrothersTalking@gmail.com.
I think that's I logged it. Into it once.
The number
sure
three.
But also.
The words, Brothers Talking.
If you have ideas that you want us to talk about or something, or thoughts about an episode, we'd like feedback too.
That's probably the easiest way to do it because, again, we're not really checking socials. Yeah. We're kind of off all those and we don't have an urge to like jump to new ones. Like, I'm not about to start up Three Brothers on Parlor or something like that.
I started Parlor.
I don't even know if Parlor's.
We're not going to do Three Brothers TikToks.
Yeah, there you go.
I've been TikToking for days, man.
Yeah. I have never once been on TikTok.
I have only opened them when they are sent to me, and then it takes me to the internet.
I hate it. Like, I hate that. I hate the fact that
I gotta go to the Internet Explorer thing or whatever.
I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go here.
Keely.
TikTok, we do not want you to sponsor us.
Keely shares funny ones with me.
Does she have a TikTok account?
She has it just to look at other people. But what's funny is
she an influencer?
She has it set up. So like she sends them to me. I never check Instagram at all. The only Instagram posts are the ones that my wife tags of the kids where she tags me in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my whole Instagram feed. But then she uses it as she DMs me all these reels and TikToks in there so that they're saved for her. And then she goes on my phone and can have a, you know, all the good ones that she likes.
Pretty sure you can just save them
in a message to me. And I'm like, all right, well, and then like, she's like, oh, did you look at the ones I sent today? And I open, like, she's like, oh, check your Instagram. And I've got like 20 TikToks.
Yeah. You sent 30?
Yeah.
Faith sends them to me, but then we watch them together at night because I don't have Instagram.
I don't ever watch them.
I don't trust you.
My terms and conditions.
Now, what is funny about Instagram, you're seeing it now. I did just see that they added Reels and Remixes to Reels.
What's a remix?
Remixes is TikTok. TikTok. It's like whenever they took over Snapchat stories by making their own stories. That's just what social media companies do, right? They like Instagram or Facebook sees this startup of TikTok and they're like, oh, people like that format. We can offer that into my platform.
Yeah.
That's how they kill. I mean, that's what happened to Vine, right? Vine gets popular and Instagram's like, we could do video.
We already take care of most of this.
No more Vine.
Yeah, like, why don't we just make it 7 seconds and be done?
Yeah. Like, okay, cool. And then Vine's dead.
Well, they've already got the user base. So
yeah. They just buy the Vine. They buy them because then they get the users automatically.
I did have a Vine account. I don't remember the username. I don't remember how many times I posted on it. I want to say probably no more than 5 times. Do it for the Vine.
Did you even get on Vine back in the day?
I don't even know.
Could you even still access it?
I don't know. It's like MySpace. It's just gone.
Yeah.
Well, MySpace was back.
Well, who knows?
I don't know.
Not us.
We're not up on our social media. What's the new ones?
I didn't make the new ones. Well, TikTok is a big thing.
I never really logged into Gab. I made one though.
That was about all I could muster.
I'm like, I got one. In case they ever come back or it becomes currency, I have one.
The new ones that are like trying to compete, there's one called MeWe, which is a weird name, but they have a good idea. MeWe does.
Gab, in and of itself, though, I get the newsletters and I do like the CEO.
What is Gab? I've never heard of either.
I think it's like a Twitter.
It's like a Twitter, Facebook merger. It's all proprietary. Parler. It's all one person made it who is a Christian. And he signs all of his newsletters, Jesus is King. So he's been on Cross Politic and a few, Andrew Turbello or something like that.
I didn't know he was a believer.
So yeah, he left his job in Silicon Valley and then they've been like kicked out of like 12 banks. It's super interesting to hear him talk about it.
It's a similar setup to like a Twitter.
It's similar to Twitter. Yeah, he signs all the newsletters. They didn't, I don't know if they did when they first started, but everyone since like the first week I've seen has said, Jesus is King from him.
What is
and
MeWe?
He's been on a ton of thing.
MeWe is started by a guy who was with Facebook for a while. And it's more about privacy. It's about not selling people's information is their big thing. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty, honestly, I made an account on
like,
it.
It's like a Facebook page.
It's similar to a Facebook sort of setup.
Yeah.
But it is really, it's honestly a nice like website and app and everything. It's honestly pretty nice and well set up. But it's like a privacy thing. We won't sell your info to people. We won't work that way. And it's got a little more like free speech bent than Facebook and Twitter does. But its main drive is the we don't sell your information and stuff like that. It's honestly a nice app.
I was like, you've seen probably a lot more activity recently with the whole kind of like censorship movement. Where like there's been a lot more push.
I just think they have a dumb name. I think Gab is a great name.
Gab's actually, it works pretty well.
I think that Parler
is kind of weird.
I think Parler is a great name because Parler plays off of, you know, the word Parler that people used to have. Gab is like, we go here to talk. But MeWe, I guess it's like, it's me and we.
Is it weird
like
to think?
But I just don't think it's a good name.
Is it weird to think at some point saying the word I tweeted was weird? And now it's like, I tweeted that.
Yeah,
like, just think back.
Took on.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, nobody would say, I tweeted.
I tweeted that.
Maybe 10 years ago.
I retweeted that. Like, we would have never thought, dude, you sound stupid right now.
You're not a bird.
Tweet on the street.
You know why
now,
people...
Yeah, I was like, now that's the only one that I honestly check. And that's honest. Just to see, like, news.
That's just stuff, to get like, some
in, like, sports
some
stuff.
Punishment in your day.
Yeah. Well, it's honestly just, like, see, like, sports updates and, like, news. Yeah, that's it.
You get sports updates from ESPN.
Yeah, but I like to see, like, what... like the people I like, the sports people I follow. I like to see what they said about the game.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah, I wish that I had a. I wish. Well, I don't know. On Twitter, I'm actually I did make a list. I made a list on Twitter of just sports writers that I like, so that I could just not see anything else except them.
And then if I didn't watch the game, I can at least see like, oh, they were kind of live tweeting it a little bit, and you can see what what kind of happened.
Yeah. Jason Whitlock has been on like 4 podcasts I listened to lately.
Really?
Yep. It's interesting. Cross Politic was one of them. Another Cross Politic.
Okay.
Just saying.
I thought it was. So what, anyway.
So what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about
social media.
The term. Yeah. Well, this is a bit of a craze on social media.
It is.
In terms of people telling their deconversion stories. The word of the day, the word of the last podcast was discipline. We have another D word, and it is deconversion.
We should just do one letter of the alphabet.
So this is the term that people, whenever they're tweeting or they're telling their story online, about how they walked away from Christianity or decided not to follow Christ, they call it their deconversion story is kind of the term that's used for it. So it's kind of become either deconversion or deconstruction, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the two words that people kind of use when they're talking about faith and how they're coming to a different understanding of their faith or they're walking away from it. And this just came to mind off of, I don't know, I think it was, I don't know, all the years blend together. A year or 2 years ago, we did an episode about Josh Harris, who was a pastor and an author, and then he deconstructed and deconverted, I think.
You can start a list of people in and their lives.
Yeah, I mean, other people, like there was a comedian duo on YouTube that a lot of people know named Rhett and Link. They were started out as kind of being cool because they were this Christian comic pairing that was actually funny. And now they, I think it was last year, they did a whole thing about how they're not Christians anymore. They're deconversion stories. And then most recently, and in a different vein, a guy whose books I have read, just like Josh Harris, I read his books too.
He's just skating goodbye.
Yes. He kissed Christianity goodbye as well. Is that too soon? I don't know.
Too soon for that.
That might be a joke that doesn't play well. Sorry. that might be one of those jokes that I thought was funny and nobody else does. And that's fine. But now an author, he was a professor. I know somebody who took classes from him at Moody. His name is Paul Maxwell. And he just said the other day that he no longer considers himself a Christian or follows Christ. And he's a younger guy too, which is also kind of interesting because a lot of this time it's older people that say this.
This is the first time I am hearing this.
Really?
I haven't been on social media for about 2 months.
I
had it sent to me.
Yeah, I heard his name come across, but I hadn't really looked into it other than that.
That is surprising and a little bit. Yeah, that actually stings me more than Josh Harris in a lot of ways. Josh Harris, I think, was always on the cusp of being like the really dude.
Nah, yeah.
But Maxwell was one that
we're getting real emotion here.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting
real. I thought you knew.
Know. We did not prep for this. This is how much show prep we do.
Live reaction.
I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah.
But I'm on the edge.
Paul wouldn't want you to.
He wasn't still teaching recently at Moody, right?
No, I don't believe he's been teaching for a number of years.
He's been writing for the Gospel Coalition.
He has written for the Gospel Coalition. He's written for Desiring God at times.
Yeah. He's been on podcast.
Yeah, he's been on Doctrine and Devotion. He wrote a book called When Your 20s Are Darker Than You'd Expect, which was, I believe, a dissertation that he prepared.
Yes.
He just published a book called,
I Kissed Christianity Goodbye.
No. Shoot. I think it's called...
I can look it up.
The Trauma of Doctrine, I think.
That just sounds...
Yeah, whenever I heard that title announced, I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if something's going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it other than that's like a dissertation as well. And it's... I believe it is... Jeremy might have a description in front of him, but I believe it's him talking about
the abuse and experience, trauma of doctrine, new Calvinism, religious abuse, and the experience of God.
The experience of God. And I think it's a, I think that the book focuses on what he calls negatively internalizing doctrines of the church and stuff. And so when the book was like being prepped and everything, I thought it was kind of weird because it's, I don't know, the title is provocative, but that doesn't mean anything. And
Walmart.
I have plenty of issues with, we all in this room recognize so, sort of the dangers of Calvinism as just a movement. Like if Calvinism is just a movement and it's not actually like a historically rooted belief, then it can be kind of squirrely.
Yeah.
And if you look at Mark Driscoll and you look at guys who were up with him, you can see the results of it just being a movement, not being a historically grounded belief. But then whenever he says he's like deconverted, it's like, okay, it makes a little more sense why you wrote the book, why it was titled the way it does.
So it's like the Theofit podcast and all that stuff. It has to be dead then too.
I guess he hasn't been very active for a while,
no,
but
he hasn't been.
Anyway, we don't need to get into particulars about him. Yes. It's the only reason we bring him up is just as an example of how this is a thing that happens, right? People that are well known, that have a level of influence inside the church and outside the church, at time to time, you'll see them just walk away from the faith. And it's this phenomenon of deconverting. When you hear that word, I'm just curious what you guys think of when you hear that word, that term.
My head always goes back to 1 John 2:9, where it says they departed from us because they were not among us in the first place.
Yeah.
That's where my head goes to. And then the second one was, I just read Galatians again last night about, am I trying to please man but God? If I'm trying to please man, I would not be a follower of Christ. And those both of those things typically, when you see the people who are quote unquote deconstructing or deconverting, they're typically people who are following the first one, which then correlates to being part of the 1 John 2 argument. They're trying to please man, which means they're typically trying to not please God.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And we're not saying that about any one particular person in terms of like, just because we've already talked about, we're not saying like Paul deconverted because he was wanting to please man.
None of us really know the particulars.
Yeah, we don't know the particulars.
I'm just saying, I guess.
We're talking at large. We're talking at large.
In a broad scope.
Yeah, and strictly from a, I think that's a good verse to bring up because I think that pleasing man versus pleasing God, when you read other people's stories or when you think about the trend as a whole, you do often see that sort of thing working its way in, where just little by little, there's a willingness to please man a little bit more, a willingness to, you know, compromise a little bit here, a little bit there. And then eventually you just are like, well, you know, I don't think I believe any of this anymore. And I think that there's a, I don't know, if you just pull like one thread out of a shirt, like every day, it doesn't seem like a big deal. And then eventually the whole thing just falls apart and you're like, oh, I guess this isn't really there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a phenomenon that does happen for people a lot. I think they don't think that they're deconverting. I think strictly speaking, deconverting doesn't happen. You can de-false convert in that you didn't really know grace to begin with. You might have understood it. I'm not saying you didn't understand it. I'm not saying you didn't feel it and to some level believe that it was true. But just strictly speaking, with what the scriptures say, it wasn't a knowledge that was a saving knowledge, because we just believe, and there's plain scriptures that say that when you know him and he doesn't let you out of his hand and you're in there forever, you're sealed. And so I say that if, I don't know, I'm just thinking a little bit, if somebody who maybe has quote unquote deconverted is listening to this, or maybe they grew up in the church and they've sort of walked away from it. I'm not saying that as if, and Jeremy doesn't share that verse as if to say, well, you were never good enough to be here, right? That's not the attitude of that verse. It's more, I'm saying, and we're saying what we're saying in terms of, it's not as though it was like, oh, you just didn't get it. That's why you left. It's that's a very shallow way of looking at what we're saying.
I think it goes back to the fact of, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you're good.
But going back to, my thoughts just popped in my head about playing with sandcastles in the sand or mud castles.
C.S. Lewis's quote, he says that we're too easily pleased and we are children that would rather make mud pies.
And not knowing that, we're butchering equally, but not knowing that
mud pies, we're going not to the knowing beach that day. Not knowing that there's God is offering a vacation by the sea to us. Yeah.
And that's where I think that a lot of people who are quote unquote deconverting, they're content with the mud castles of what Christianity is offering rather than the free grace of, and to be fair, I think we all often have issues with grace, but realizing that there's so much more to grace to offer than what it really is. And it's the vacation at the beach versus just the mud castles of doctrine and the abuse, I guess.
Of the abuse of the possible abuse of that.
I think like your analogy there of like pulling a thread out of a shirt, and you see the people that publicly portray the evidence of, okay, I have no shirt remaining anymore. And there's just nothing left. But then how many, like I think on the opposite spectrum, how many people out there that have no shirt remaining, but yet still in their minds are playing in the fact that they still, you know, they're in their mind, they think they're safe. They think that they still hold on to this, but yet they've compromised on so much of what the society and what the world has thrown at them today that really the tenets of their faith are not there.
Almost like the emperor has no clothes argument.
Yeah.
I want to get back to that thought, 'cause that's really good. But I want to wrap, touch back on something that to close the loop, hopefully, on what we were talking about. I think, Jeremy, you were talking about the difference between, like, I think that there's a reality. I think there's a reality where we can, I think the scriptures talk about this, that there's a reality that people can know and understand, and to a certain extent, believe the things that are in scripture. They can know, understand, believe them, but not on the level of being saved, brought into the covenant.
There's an intellectual ascent, and
there's an intellectual ascent, and it can be extremely deep. Convincing. It's not saying that, like, oh, you only had an intellectual agreement. Like, these people never felt anything strongly.
Right.
I believe they felt things strongly. I believe they felt sincere.
And passionate.
I believe that 100%. I think that it's possible to think and believe and feel all those things and to still, to not, you know, to really ultimately have more of your faith in a sort of Christianity
system
and not in Christ and grace, and to not really grasp what that is, and to not really be secured by it. And the difference between those two things is obviously an eternal difference of, is my faith a set of things that I believe, or is my faith this one singular important belief in Jesus Christ, what he's done for me and all that he says. And I just think there's a difference there. Like, you can believe a set of things and agree to them and live your life for them, or you can believe, in that personal way of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done for me. I needed it. I was saved. I don't know. There's just a difference there. One of it is a sincere, but it's like a it's believing in a collection of teachings, as opposed to believing in Christ himself and what he's done and,
yeah,
and knowing and, him and knowing
that
him.
Ties into actually submitting your life.
Yeah.
Whereas like it's very easy in today's world to just walk through life believing and thinking you're safe and believing your set of beliefs in Christ. And yet and living in that place of comfort, because that does not translate into having a, an effect on your daily lives. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Versus actually it, what we're talking about and actually submitting. And then that, that shakes up your entire livelihood, and that should alter how you go through your day.
Yeah.
No, and what you just said sparked something I was reading about the other day, is about compartmentalization and how we, especially as men and Christians, we, and can teach our kids this too. You have compartmentalization where I have my, my work time, my Jesus time, my dinner time, and all this stuff. Like they don't bleed across the other one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I can compartmentalize everything. And we do this typically. We have Sunday as the Lord's Day. That's the only day that's really we dedicate any significant amount of time or even the day to anything where Jesus actually infiltrates everything.
It's true.
So the compartmentalization aspect of how we live our lives daily, I think has a huge impact on that.
Yeah, I think to bounce off of what you just said, I think that a lot of people who do walk away from the faith, I'm just thinking about people who are just about my age who grew up in Christian homes and have walked away from the faith. I think a lot of them, if I look at their stories, they fit a general structure of growing up in a home that was compartmentalized like that. And so for a long while, that was okay in life. They could keep playing the sort of rhythmical structural game that they sort of felt like their parents played. Their parents might be true believers. It might be really sincere, but things were a little compartmentalized. And so to their children, it seemed like a bit of a game.
Yep.
And so as the kid gets older and as life sets in, games don't work as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you're just like, why am I doing, like, it is just a Sunday thing for me. Why am I doing more than that? And that isn't to say like, oh, everybody who does it, it's their parents' fault. But that's just like a narrative arc that I can see with a lot of examples in my life.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's, that's why it's a huge responsibility. Like we harped on last episode of like, why like there is a spiritual warfare going on for your, like why you as a husband, as a father, you should be going to battle daily for your household.
Yeah. Every day.
And like, that's even more important. And the fact that someday you're sending your kids out as arrows into this world. And like, are they going to be able to stand, or are they going to show that your life, their upbringing was compartmentalized and was, you know, like there was these holes.
Yeah. I just want to talk about how we would speak to somebody who has deconverted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fight about the word with them. I understand what they're trying to describe, mm-hmm. right? They're saying, I used to really think I believed all this stuff and I don't think I do anymore. And so there's not like one, I don't know. Sometimes it's easy to say like, there's one reason everybody leaves the faith. It's X, right? There's not like one reason. I think it is often that thread analogy, like it's just one thing here, one thing there, and eventually it's gone. Sometimes it could be one particularly horrible set of circumstances, right? That could make somebody question everything. But the reason that we sort of care about this is because we believe what we believe. And that means that we believe when you're saying that, you are putting yourself in a eternally perilous position, right? And so we care about it enough to be really honest about it. And with somebody that we love who is maybe doing this or deconverting or sharing that, we care enough to tell them, like, look, I still love you. I still care about you. You still can be my friend. You know, you're not going to be excommunicated from my life. But you can't let go of the fact that this is a person that needs Jesus, right? So we shouldn't be angry with somebody when this happens. Maybe if they lied to us for a long time, there's a little bit of room for frustration there. But somebody going through this, there's somebody that needs to be told about Jesus, because, and it can be harder because they sort of already know.
Yeah.
It can be harder.
They might already have all the head knowledge.
And so when you try to talk to them, it's like, I already know, you know, I already know. I know what you're going to say to me is what they'll say to me. But I think hopefully you can do it with a heart that overcomes a bit of that hostility, you know, like your heart for them needs to be on display.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to win them back to a club. You care about
them.
And
even if it's not going to be an overnight thing. So your livelihood needs to be on display for them, because that's what's going to really make the difference. I think for a lot of those situations where the head knowledge is already there. And like, if they go down this road for a time period, you know, they live out the rest of, you know, time has passed, and then they see just a different trajectory in their life versus how you are living, then maybe, you know, maybe that is another ticket, but you can go on.
And I think a lot of people that are walking away from Christianity are walking away from a compartmentalized version of it. That isn't to say, oh, you don't know what real Christianity is, right? But I do think a lot of people that are walking away from it because of the bad taste in the mouth of seeing the compartmentalization that their parents or other people have. Because that does leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. You're
like, why do you say you believe this when it doesn't look like you do?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say you believe it when you do this, X, Y, and the other? And
we say that about everything in life. Like, if you have people who are living hypocritically.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you're saying this one thing here, but you're living this way 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Then you're obviously, there's something, not, there's a disconnect here. That goes down to our families, our pastors, and everything we're doing. If we're having
That's,
the leaders doing the same
what
issue.
What is the, I mean, I don't know what, if the statistic is current, but it's like, you know, 80 some percent of,
I think it's 70,
as far as youth that, you know, get out of their parents' household, they end up not going to a regular church.
Yeah.
And walking away. So it's like that comes largely from this type of behavior that they see from their household growing up.
I think that also comes from, maybe we need to switch up our youth ministry model.
That's true too.
Yeah. But that goes back to it. Like that.
But
like,
yeah, I was like, that only has a part of it. They're in the household every day.
Exactly. Yeah. That was just a little shot I had at the, we need to do that. I just think we need to, when we see this happen, when this happens with somebody in our life, we need to, I mean, listen to people and hear what they're saying about why they're making this decision.
Yeah.
I try to understand them and try to demonstrate, look, I'm not trying to like win you back to keep peace in the family. I'm not trying to win you back because I'm obligated to do so. I'm trying to win you back because I believe, you might not believe this anymore, but I believe this and I care about you. And that demonstration of love will be vital, I think, as you continue to win it. And then there's somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. They do all the time. They need to hear about it from you.
And like that,
until
that,
they get tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, I was like, that might be like, as far as if anybody's in that situation, like that might be a very heavy labor on your half.
Mm-hmm.
Like that might be, you know, time and effort, and it might seem very tense at times and all that, but that might be just what is needed. When some time has passed, and hopefully. Yeah.
And I would say, make sure you are trying to win them back to the pure and awesome grace that is offered to them. Like, make sure that's like front and center in all the conversations you have about it. Like, hey man, you realize this? This is grace. Because I think a lot of people that do walk away, grace is just hard to understand. Like Jeremy talked about earlier, grace is hard to get. It's hard to fully understand because it is amazing is beyond our categories. And to keep talking to somebody and just, like, just to keep pressing in on, like, no, it really is still there. Yeah. Really is free. Really is complete. It really, yeah. Like, we don't make that the centerpiece of everything so that it's, yeah, front and center all the time.
Yeah.
And I think just keep praying. Like, keep praying for those people in your life,
yeah,
that you know are going through this. Like, I think it's John Edwards. I think. Could be Jonathan Edwards or Jonathan Whitfield, one of the two, that has a quote about how he refuses to ever assume that somebody who was walking with Christ and then walks away. He talks about how he refuses to see them as truly separated from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will look at them as though they're, he says, in a swoon. He basically means, I'll look at them as though they're asleep.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to assume that they're dead. And he says, he goes on to say, his reason for that is because he wants to always believe, like, God can wake them up, bring them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a moment, at 1 second, you know, and that's the story of God's preserving grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so also looking at the people in your life who maybe walk away from the faith, looking at them and understanding they could be a story of God's preserving grace. You know, I mean, a lot of people walk away and they come back later and say, I just didn't get it the first time.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people walk away and they come back and they say, man, God held on to me for this many years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got it back then.
Yeah.
And I lost
all,
it.
I had
and
all
I
get, the knowledge and, like,
and,
yeah,
and I get it now.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing.
Well, that'd be the difference between two backsliding versus,
yeah,
deconverting. Or
and we don't know what we don't know when we're talking to people. We don't know if it's backsliding.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it's we don't know if it's this person's not saved.
Yep.
We don't know. And we should approach either way. You should approach it with hope. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of hope.
Yep. Hope and love.
Yeah.
There you go.
Keep praying.
And, like,
keep telling.
That's where, yeah, like we harped on last episode, like, prayer is so vital because, we don't know the condition of those souls that are, you know, that are on your hearts, that are heavy, even, like, you know, praying for the, for preserving your household, mm-hmm, and everything down the road. That's so important.
I think things are truly important. They've truly become important to us when we're willing to spend a lot of time praying about them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
They're either really important or really painful.
Yeah.
We know something in life is really painful or really important
when we spend time praying about it. Yeah.
Yep. Because before that, we'll try to do it on our own.
Yeah.
Or we just won't feel an urge to pray. You know, we just won't spend that much time doing it. But when something becomes really painful,
but you see,
or
yeah,
really,
like,
important,
you
we
see all these
find
public
time
stories
to pray.
And, like, you see all, you know, these crazy statistics about, like, youth walking away and stuff. And it's like, all right, like, husbands, like, heads of households.
What,
like,
are you doing?
Yeah. Like, we got to be on the ball daily.
And just a word of encouragement to people in the church, like, it doesn't matter who walks away. Right. The truth of Christ does not depend on any one person at all. Doesn't depend on hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of Christ depends on one person. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's who it depends on. The good news is that he died and he rose again. So that truth isn't going to change. So does not matter who walks away. Doesn't matter how big of a following they have. Doesn't matter how bad it hurts. That truth is true. Mm-hmm. And we should not be quick to compromise when there's opportunities for compromise. We should actually stop and study and think, oh, is this actually like a thread that I don't want to pull?
Yeah.
Is this a thread that actually matters? Is this a thread that's actually in the Bible? Because if it is, I'm going to stand on it because I believe that this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to remember. It doesn't, and for every story of these things, like, God's kingdom is still going forward. It's not at a net loss. God's kingdom, always a net positive, always at a, always gaining. It has been for 2,000 years.
It will continue.
It will keep doing that. Like, it'll keep doing that until it's full, as the scriptures say, until the water, the knowledge of the Lord and the glory of the Lord fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. You don't got to worry about that.
Yeah, it's going post.
That's a not just a post mill thing.
I know. I'm just kidding.
We all millennial people can claim that as well.
Because it's in the Bible.
I would I would say any Christian should be able to claim that as well.
It says it pretty blatantly.
It kind of says that in
ESV, KJV.
Habakkuk says it, so I can say
it's all in
there.
Probably not in the MSG.
Yes.
But it's probably something like that.
Exactly.
Something relatively close.
Like, yo, it flow.
Maybe, yeah.
Yo, that glory flow.
Glory be flowing.
All over the place.
Next verse.
Let's do our own translation of that verse. Just like, till everybody knows about him everywhere all the time. Next.
Now that.
There we go. Yo, it flow. There we go.
There we go.
There's the Habakkuk. I think it's Habakkuk 2.
I think that should just be the name of the episode. Yo,
it flow. Yo, it flow. All right, I'll put it in there.
I think it works.
All right. Well, we did it. We talked about this deconversion. Probably
the last
a little.
Time we talk about it.
Yeah.
No one will ever deconvert again.
That's right. Hopefully a little clumsy. Decided. Hopefully, or not. Hopefully a little clumsily. I think we did it a little clumsily, which is fine. That's how we do all of our podcasts.
Everything's clumsy.
I think it was good.
But I think it was
Andrew
all right. There we go.
It was good again.
Now we can close the episode.
Yeah, we're done.
Other thoughts that you guys have, threebrotherstalking@gmail.com, 2 episodes in a row that we're plugging that, the number 3, then the words brothers talking.
And if there's any response or anything to this
I'm sure there can be about? Some thoughts about this.
Yeah.
So get to us on there, get to us on Gab.
We're not really on social media.
Make a TikTok.
So email,
honestly,
make a TikTok and send it to.
We have a PO box.
Yeah, we have a PO box and an email. Yeah.
Do we have a PO box? That's probably the most reliable.
Let's set one up.
Honestly, how much
do you have to pay for a PO box?
I don't know. I'll probably give them away.
You can mail it to Jeremy.
Address is 6.
No, but please share this episode with somebody that might want to listen to it.
Random people on the street.
Yeah, you can tell somebody about it. Who cares?
Tell a stranger.
Just bring up the episode on your phone and then bring up AirDrop and see if any strangers
phone.
See if any strangers pop up because they accidentally have their things, their visibility, and just send it to them.
But you have to be close enough, yeah, far enough to be respectfully.
Respectfully distanced, of course.
Of course.
Anyway, anybody got a recommendation?
I do not. Sorry. My wife just
We ate dinner the other night as a family, and it was really nice.
There you go.
There you go.
I got a book recommendation sort of on the subject, Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul.
I read that, actually.
Or Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by J.I. Packer.
That is good. I've read that one.
Yeah. Very good. Touch on the subject.
Bro.
He is sovereign. And
it's a quick read, too. It's not really long.
Yeah. Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God is very readable.
120 pages.
Chosen by God is pretty short as well.
Yep.
All of R.C. Sproul's stuff is easy to read.
He writes
I've never read anything of his.
I think they're all
like
200 pages tops.
Yeah, R.C. Sproul has a book called Willing to Believe. Yeah, Willing to Believe. And that's sort of an expanded version of Chosen by God. I've read that one. I haven't read Chosen by God. But all of his books are easy to read. He's not some kind of he doesn't write in a foreign language, right? He writes in that Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania English.
The Pennsylvania.
That's what he writes in.
As it were.
All right. Well, we got some recommendations. We
did it.
Did an episode. There we go. We did it in the same room.
Good work, guys.
Good work, guys.
It's good to see you.
I give high fives, so we're pretty far away.
Yeah.
Can't reach.
Can't do
all right. Well, then we did all right. And until next time.
We are really good at ending episodes. If there's one thing I've noticed.
Yeah, if you have a way to end episodes, and just let us know.
If you can give us a good suggestion.
Email us.
I'm just like randomly ending the recording.
And
which is like what
I normally just fade in the music. And
I'll be honest.
That's probably what's going in now.
I'm always really like, I hope he leaves it recording as long as possible.
Let's keep going. Well, we're recording now, but probably the music will be up and we can hear each other now.
Maybe if I can hear it first. spring. But
Jack's still here.
We don't actually fade the music in. We just talk quietly.
All right, I'm leaving.
All right, bye.